All right, a few people are excited to be here. I like in this side over here. I'm feeling it over here. You guys got to raise your game. I know it's been a while, so do the wave. Oh, we can do that. You can do what you want. You can see how many people follow. Hey, I am absolutely thrilled to be here this morning, even more so than normal. I don't know why. So I recorded this sermon for online on Thursday. When I finished it, you know, there's something about just continuing to stare into a computer screen by yourself in a room, but then there's something when you have a parking lot filled with people. And you know how it is when there's something that you love to do and you can't do it for whatever reason, and then you get it back again, and it's just that much better than it was before? That's how I feel this morning. So I have a few extra ounces of, and I did not have Red Bull this morning. And hey, the other thing about this week's sermon is that you get to benefit from the second version of this sermon. After I finished it, I was like, there's something off about this sermon. So I went back and reworked it, which means if you're watching online, you're going to get maybe like a 7. But here, I'm going to give you guys an 11. Crank it up a few notches. So we're going to be back meeting every single week, and that is very, very exciting. And I can't wait to see where this goes. You know, we've had a little speed bump for a while, and now here we are back again, and I'm excited to see what the future has in store. And I'm glad that we get to build this together. That's how it's always been from the beginning. All of us in this together. So we'll see where we can take it. Now, this morning, we are in week 2 of this series that I'm calling Bad Religion. Last week, had an introduction online, and I basically just set the scene for this series. What I want to talk about over the next couple of weeks is I want to talk about these 7 critiques. They're known as the 7 woes of Jesus. 7 criticisms that Jesus launches against the religious leaders of the day. And what's really interesting is, you know, I was thinking about this. Oftentimes, Jesus comes across, when people think about Jesus, they talk about him, he's like a hippie singing kumbaya around a campfire. But Jesus has way more passion than that. And as we'll see over the next couple of weeks, there's some things that get Jesus cranked up. There are some things that anger Jesus, because there are certain forms of religion that are destructive and they're harmful. And they're actually hurting people's relationship with the divine. People have this desire. They want to connect with God, with themselves, with others, with the world, this beautiful world we're all a part of. There's ways of doing that that are healthy and that actually connect you with the truest you, with the person that you've been created to be. And then there are ways of doing that that actually take you away from the truest version of yourself, the version of yourself that God dreams when God sees each one of you, the individual gift that each of you are for this world. Over these weeks, I want to look at the critiques, the woes, but I don't want to end there because you have to build up. You can't just tear down. So we'll do a bit of tearing down because Jesus clearly does this, but then I want to look at the flip side of it as well to look at, okay, so if Jesus is critiquing this, what's the positive? What's the true version of religion, of spirituality that Jesus is offering for us? What's the way of living in a way that, again, connects us deeply with the people that we are inside? So we'll begin by looking at the first woe, because we started this series and we didn't even get to the first woe. So week 2, here we are, Matthew chapter 23. We're in verse 13. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! Now, this is a phrase, a distinction, a disclaimer that Jesus is going to be making all throughout these seven woes. We looked at it a bit last week. You hypocrites, there's a gap. There's a schism between what these teachers of the law are saying and then how they're living their lives. They're saying one thing, but their lives don't look anything like what it is that they're saying. And Jesus continues, "You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to." Now, at this point, Jesus is just getting warmed up. We'll see. I think the next one's actually like really high up there. He cranks it up. But in the beginning, he's just getting started. And what he says is something extremely profound. He begins by saying, "You teachers of the law, you Pharisees, you're acting like self-appointed gatekeepers. You're like bouncers at a bar. You are deciding who has access to God and who doesn't have access to God. Who is it that is worthy enough in order to experience God and who is not worthy enough to experience God? They're gatekeepers. Who's in and who's out?" Religious traditions like to do this quite a bit. This is the in-group, this is the out-group. And you know, it's funny because we're always part of the in-group and everyone else out there is always the out-group. Of course, we're always the ones who are in and have access to God. And Jesus is upset about this. Who do you think you are? You get to decide who can experience God. You can decide if someone is worthy enough to have access to God. I remember when I was younger, I was in high school, I had a favorite band, MXPX. Any other MXPX punk rock fans out there? Yes. Again and again, Heiko always surprises me. Whatever book or movie I mention, Heiko's like right there with his hand raised. Now I mention my favorite punk band and he's right. I'm really going to miss you when you go back. Can you stay a little longer? Now, I had never seen MXPX live in concert before, but it was my dream. As a 15-year-old, it was my dream to see them perform live in concert. But my parents, yes, they're in the parking lot, they didn't want me to stay out late on a school night. And whenever bands would tour, they would always play on a Monday or a Wednesday. And they're like, "No, you have to focus on your schoolwork. You can't be out late at night now, Dave." It does sound like Fred. You've been hanging around him a little bit? Now, I don't remember why, but for some reason, MXPX was playing a show in Long Island on like a Saturday afternoon. So I gathered a whole bunch of my friends and we were gonna go to this show. And my dad drove us because I was 15 at the time and we loaded up into this station wagon that we had, all of us. We made the trip to Long Island. We waited in line. Now we didn't have tickets for the concert, but we figured it's not gonna sell out. It's a big venue, there's no way. Let's just go, get online, we'll buy our tickets at the door. Wait online, get to the front, sold out. We didn't have tickets. I remember the ride home was like the most depressing moment I had experienced in my life up till that point. But see, that's what the teachers of the law and Pharisees are like. Okay, who has a ticket? Do you have a ticket? You don't have a ticket? Ooh, no, you're out. God's not like that. God doesn't have a capacity. There's always room for more. You can come to the concert without a ticket, and you're still going to be allowed in. I mean, think about Jesus. Jesus offered this invitation to all people. Come. We sang about it. Come just as you are. See, what Jesus did is he would meet every person exactly where they were. There is no shame. There is no unworthiness. There was, come and be a part of this. Come and experience life. joy, freedom, salvation. Do you see the opposites at work here? Teachers of the law are saying, no, we have enough room. The room is filled up already. You can't have access. You're unworthy. You didn't bring a ticket. You didn't pay enough. And Jesus is like, no, none of that exists here. This is a free gift that I'm offering. And the other sad thing about this criticism that Jesus delivers is he says, you shut the door to people who are trying to come in. There's a certain desperation at work here. People who don't have it all figured out. People who don't have it all put together. You ever feel like that? You ever feel like you don't have the whole thing figured out? You ever feel like your life is in shambles? Yeah, I feel a bit like that right now, being completely displaced from home. Yeah, you ever feel like you look at someone else and you think, well, they really have it together, but me, there's no way God would ever accept. There's no way I could possibly experience God when my life looks like this. There's a certain desperation here. People who are trying, stumbling, faltering, and Jesus is there with open arms, and the other teachers of the law are like, whoa, no. You don't look the part. Look at us. Look at how we do things. Look at our religion. All right, remember back to last week, it was all a show for them. It was all about looking pious, looking religious. Jesus is like, I don't want any of that. I don't want you to look religious. I don't want you to sound religious. I don't want you to simply go through the motions. What Jesus cares about is the heart. Jesus is looking at the hearts of the people, and he sees they're desperate, thinking, maybe this God can do something about my situation. And Jesus is like, all right, let's work with that. Let's start there. See, what's happening here is the Pharisees, the religious teachers, they are not allowing others to experience God because the truth is they aren't experiencing God for themselves. Notice what Jesus says to them. You don't even enter. You shut the door on others, but you yourselves are not entering. You yourselves are not experiencing God. See, the Pharisees, teachers of the law, they had equated religious deeds, doing things, with the experience of God. But there's something deeper. There's something beyond just the things that you do as ways to experience God. See, the truth is, you can't give that which you don't have. The Pharisees, they weren't experiencing the love, the grace, the forgiveness. And so they couldn't offer that to others. They weren't experiencing the welcome of God themselves because they were making it all about them and what they could do, how they could perform. It was their very religion that was keeping them away from the experience of God. You ever find this to be true? Your very religion, going through motion, sometimes keeps you away from the experience, a true experience of the divine. So two questions for us. Why weren't the Pharisees experiencing God? And then how do we experience God in our lives? And I'll answer both of them with a story. And this is one of my all-time favorite stories. It's about a rabbi from Krakow. And this rabbi one night goes to sleep. And he has this vivid, vivid dream. In the dream, he dreams about a far-off land where there's this bridge. Buried underneath the bridge is some buried treasure. So he wakes up the next morning. He packs his things in a bag and he sets off on a journey. He says, I am going to find this bridge. I'm going to find this buried treasure because then I'll be rich. I'll be successful. This treasure is everything that I've been looking for my entire life. So he travels over mountains. He goes canoeing through rivers. He fights dragons. I've gotten pretty good at my three-year-old story, bedtime storytelling. He slays these dragons. Eventually, he sees in the distance this bridge, and he says, could it be the bridge that I dreamed about? He makes it to the bridge, but it's daylight, and he notices there's a guard that's patrolling the bridge. And he wants to make sure that no one else sees what he's doing, so he says, I'm going to go hide behind this bush and wait for nightfall. When no one's around, when that guard goes to sleep, and there's no one here to see me excavate this buried treasure, then I'll dig it up and I'll return home. So he goes, he hides in the bushes, and eventually, after a couple of hours, the guard notices him. And the guard yells down, he says, you over there hiding behind the bushes, what are you doing here? I've seen you trying to hide the entire day. Like, what's the deal? What's going on here? So the rabbi comes out from behind the bush. He looks up at the guard and he says, you know what? You wouldn't believe me if I told you what I was doing here. The guard laughs a little. He says, try me. The rabbi says, all right, well, I had a dream. I had a dream that underneath this very bridge, there's buried treasure. And I was going to dig it up and take it home with me. The guard looks at him. He starts laughing. Says, you know what? If I believed in dreams like that, then I would believe that there is buried treasure underneath the house of a rabbi from Krakow. With this, the rabbi says, thank you very much, turns around, and runs back to his house, looking for the buried treasure that this guard had seen in his dream. How much of life do we spend journeying, looking for things that are beyond ourselves, thinking if we can just prove ourselves here, if we could just attain this, get there, acquire this, well, then everything in life will be perfect. When meanwhile, the treasure, it's right there with us the entire time. We spend our lives seeking, striving, trying to prove our worth, our value, thinking the buried treasure that we seek, it's miles away in some far distant land. When the truth is, it's been right there within us the entire time. See, for these religious teachers, they were really, really good at working to earn God's favor. But it was in their very work that they were missing the gift. They were missing God all along. How do we experience God? God is no further than the last breath that you just took. God's right there with you in every moment. Sometimes we think it's a formula, and if we get that formula right, then we'll attain blessing. But what Jesus says, the invitation that Jesus offers is the blessing you desire, it's been yours all along. You're loved. You're worthy. You're accepted. I know it's a very simple message, but how often do we need to be reminded that we are loved simply as we are? Life beats that out of us. It gets beaten out of me. Then I try to work for it. I try to work harder, try to attain it. It's when I stop, pause, breathe, and remind myself, I'm loved just as I am. And the truth is, nothing can take that away from you. Underneath your bed at home is this buried treasure, and it's with you all the time. How do we experience God? As we learn to trust that truth. As we remind ourselves, I'm loved. I'm worthy. And then what naturally happens is we don't find ourselves working to earn God's favor. We don't find ourselves working to earn grace. We live in it. And then it flows out of us to the rest of the world. It's just a byproduct of who we are. We bask in that love and that acceptance. And then we naturally bestow that upon others so that others come to realize the truth of their value and their worthiness. So as I end this morning, may you embrace that truth. I don't know what you're carrying here this morning. I don't know what your week, your day, month, past year has looked like. But the invitation of Jesus, it's an invitation we saw last week. Come, all you who are weary, lay down all that's been burdening you. It's an invitation to lay it all down and to trust. You're accepted just as you are. So God, as we look at these critiques, God, these criticisms that Jesus offers to the religious establishment of his time, God, I ask that these critiques would jar us a bit. God, that they would shake us from any ways that we have been distorting the spirituality, God, the religion that you desire for us to have. God, a way of connecting with you that is true, that is real. God, if there's any ways that we've been performing or trying to attain something, God, it's tiring. It's exhausting. So I ask that we would leave here this morning with the awareness that the treasure that we seek, the love that we seek, has been right there with us the entire time. So God, every breath we take, may we be reminded of this truth. May we live our lives under your grace. God, with a profound awareness of the gift of life that we've been given. And as we do so, may love, grace, welcome, may it all flow out of us. May we live a life of openness, of inclusivity. God, a life where we show others that there's always room for more at God's table. And may that truth change our lives and the lives of those around us. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen.